Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you on Thursday morning, November 5th, 2009. It's now about 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time. Or is it Central Time? I'm not even sure, folks. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. You can email us anytime at comments@libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, Sutton-Associates.com, or you can go to mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two. In his weekly newsletter, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on contraryinvestorscafe.com. contraryinvestorscafe.com. Folks, I know I've been saying this now for a long time, but things really are not getting better. Today, Toyota announced, in fact, this morning announced that they had a small profit, I think $46 million, which for Toyota is very, very small, for the third quarter. And that was primarily attributed to all of the money that the millions that was, or trillions, or how much money was put into the Cash for Clunker program as an incentive for people to buy cars. We don't anticipate that to repeat. Neither do we anticipate the Ford $1.1 billion profit to repeat, and we really don't know what that $1.1 billion is composed of. Sometimes those figures can be very misleading. So don't let that lull you to sleep in thinking that, geez, everything is on an upswing. Things can temporarily go on an upswing when the government takes your money from you and gives it to everyone else. When there's a redistribution of wealth, you can show an improvement in the place where the money has been distributed to. But what you don't see in the lagging indicator is what happens to the people who actually contributed to that money, to that pot of money. And that's what we're going to see in the fourth quarter. All right. Lastly, I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by listening to our website, by visiting our website, and clicking on the subscribe icon. You know, I'm about as sick as I can get right now regarding listening to people who are saying, look, the government is doing all this good stuff, and now we should be grateful and stop criticizing the government because really these are really very, very, very good programs and they are working. Folks, they are not working. Nothing is working. Looking at the leading indicators from the American Institute of Economic Research, and all they do is reprint them, basically, and they make a few comments, and they're not political at all. They're just statistical stuff. They just do the statistical work. You know, they're Sergeant Joe Fridays, the facts, ma'am, nothing but the facts, that type of thing. And it shows several leading indicators on the rise. In fact, 78% are on the rise, except for two. Now, here are the two. Industrial production and employment. Now, folks, you have no economy unless you produce stuff and people are employed doing things, producing stuff. All the rest are window dressing, in my opinion, although they're important, you know, they inventory and whatever. That means people had to replace inventory, which they badly needed. So all those things were a slight improvement. And all this is a lull. It's the lull before the storm. Things are not better. There is no indication that things are in fact better. We keep on losing jobs. Now, here's an interesting fact. I'm going to get a little bit off the tangent here. Here's an interesting fact. During most recessions, every recession, if this was a regular recession, we would have bounced back, listen folks, about 11 months ago. In other words, employment and production would have started to increase 11 months ago. Not by now, but almost a year ago, employment and production would have increased. Now, that should be enough to alarm you. Not only has it not increased, and we are 11 months down the road taking the average recession, but we are still on a downward trajectory. In other words, we still haven't even turned around yet. There could be no bounce back unless we have a bounce back in those two areas. I mean, a true, not a government imposed. Now, if the government takes your money and gives it to someone else, and then someone else says, see, things are better. Look at all the money I have. That is, in fact, a false economy. Now, that's what the progressives like. The progressives like to look at one part. If you are progressive, you cannot be an economist. Maybe you can be a Keynesian economist, but you cannot be a real economist because you do not believe in supply and demand. You do not believe that you cannot take from one person, give it to another, and think that everything is fine. In fact, if you are progressive, you cannot be a person who critically thinks. It is not humanly possible to do both those things. And that's my gripe against the entire progressive community. Now, if you want to call the progressives Democrats, which makes me a Republican, hogwash. You know what I mean. Those people who think that, you know, everything is fine, you know, the government can solve everything, and Nancy Pelosi is brilliant. In fact, listen, Nancy Pelosi, you know, how did she ever get that job? How did she ever get that job? I never listened to her, and the few times that I did, I thought to myself that this woman somehow got that job somehow. She had to pay her way in. I mean, this woman has no brains whatsoever. She cannot think about anything. She has never, ever once that I have heard her say anything that even resembles reality. Forget about political affiliation. She is incredible. I mean, when I say she's incredible, she's incredibly stupid. And yet she's the Speaker of the House. Barney Frank is another one. A blowhard, an idiot blowhard. But we have people who are kingpins in our government that we wouldn't have as friends. We could not even have a decent conversation with because they're so stupid and arrogant. And yet we look to them to solve the nation's problems. There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with America. There's something wrong with the population. There's something wrong with our thinking. If it does not change, then our future looks bleak. We have a future of slavery where the weight of the decisions that are being made and have been made in the past few decades will fall on the backs of every citizen in the United States. It'll weigh so heavily. We will never be able to stand up straight again and be proud to be Americans. The weight will be too heavy. We will be crushed. It'll crush not only us physically, mentally, but spiritually. The weight of these decisions will destroy America. I sound like a preacher, don't I? I should have been a preacher. But I mean that. The weight of these decisions will destroy us, will break our backs. We'll no longer be able to hold up. Hold our heads high. And move forward. Because there'll be too many obstacles. An obstacle to everything. Why do you think businesses are moving out of the United States? Because there are too many obstacles. They're tired of fighting them. They're tired of the bureaucracy. They want to go someplace where they can conduct business between two people. And then the people who put up these obstacles are those people who are going to change things, who are going to fix things, who are going to make America great again. That's not possible, folks. These are the people that are putting the weight of regulation, of restriction, of slavery itself, on the backs of each one of our citizens. We'll all walk around hunchback, spiritually hunchback. We'll be spiritual hunchbacks, every one of us. And without the spirit to move forward, we'll have nothing. We'll have no hope. Without hope for the future, we'll acquiesce, go to our knees, and die. And America is dying. I didn't intend to say that, by the way. I had this not written down. I had no intention of saying that. I just get so angry I can't see straight. I do not watch television anymore. When I do put it on, I'll tell you what I watch. And you can come over to my house anytime. I put on Speed TV. I love drag racing. I used to did a little bit of that when I was young. I had a 327 Chevy engine, all beefed up. Mallory dual point ignition distributor. Cut holes on the pipes of my exhaust, made them real loud. Carter 4-barrel. 4-speed close ratio transmission 220. 411 rear positive traction. I used to love to drag race. I blew rear ends and everything. I love to watch speed. Now, if you're thinking, Joe, well, that you're escaping. You're running away. You bet I am. I'm running away. I go in my own little world of drag racing. For that 1.5 hour, I'm happy. And after that, I walk away. I walk away, as one of my listeners said, from the lie box. Listening to these idiots make us stupid. Absolutely stupid. And I just love when these idiots talk about the economy. Could you imagine these idiots have the audacity to talk about the economy? They don't have enough brains to balance their own checkbook. What they say makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. They're destroying America, and they're talking about the economy. Damn them! Damn them all! And we talk about the economy, we have no idea what we're talking about. That's what I put in my blog this week. We talk about the economy. What do we talk about the economy? What is it, the economy? I've never seen the economy. Show it to me! I want to see it! Is it a box? Is it round? Is it a ball? Is it fluffy? Is it hard? What is it? I don't know what it is. No one knows what it is. But we can explain it. But not by these clowns in the circus called Washington, D.C. The clowns out of the circus can't explain it. But they can't tell you that they're going to make it better by taking your money and put it someplace else. Just think about that. Think about how ridiculous that is. I want to give to a charity, but the government takes my money in advance in taxes. Involuntarily, or involuntarily rather, takes my money. That money goes to Washington. Gets you. Most goes to fraud, corruption, waste, administrative garbage, waste, absolute waste. And whatever little trickles down goes to a charity of their choice. So when the government taxes me, they restrict my choice. They take away my freedom. Once my choice is taken away, they take away my freedom. Government always takes away your freedom, unless it's restrained. And our government has not been restrained. So they give to, and then you find the organization they're giving to has some sort of political agenda. They're not even a legitimate charity. They steal your money. They live high on the hog. They support a gigantic bureaucracy which protects their job. Then they give it to a charity that you don't even agree with. Then the end of that is that they say, we Americans should be more generous. We should have programs to do this and do that. Then they tell me I'm not generous enough. And I'm not doing my part for the economy. How dare they? How dare they? How dare they? The economy means us, folks. You and me. And like I said last week, every decision that we make. Absolutely every little decision that we make. You know, when you're young and you decide to get married, that's an economic decision, believe it or not. Now, at the time, you don't think of it that way. You go, oh, I'm in love, oh. But it's an economic decision. And look what people do. And we all do this. I mean, we do. We're stupid. We get married. I got my niece. She gets married, right? Before they get married, they buy a house. Before they get married, they buy a house. That make any sense? You're not even sure you're going to get married. The guy may run off. The gal may run off. Who knows? They buy a house together before the marriage. They weren't living together, but they bought a house. Dumb. Absolutely dumb. Dumb economic decision. As it turned out, they got married. All right, it worked out. Now, then the people buy a house, they go, oh, geez, the house here are too expensive. Where I'm going to go is I'm going to go someplace else. I'm going to drive 40 miles away from my job where houses are cheap. Less expensive. We do that. Another economic decision. And when we do that, what do? We incur this tremendous fixed expense. And that fixed expense is gasoline and wear and tear on the car. And the time it takes to get to work. So instead of going to work and taking 20 minutes, now it takes an hour. We give up 40 minutes of our life each way. Almost an hour and a half a day we throw away for the rest of our lives because we want to save some money and buy a house. That's an economic decision. It destroys our lives. Then we look to the government to help us. We need lower gas prices because I can't afford to get to work. Well, dummy, you bought the stupid house 40 miles away from your job. If I want to go to a party, I go to the party. I don't go to the party 40 miles away and then telecommute. Well, that's what my niece did. They bought their job in a house in a place that was relatively inexpensive, right? In the middle of nowhere, not in the middle of nowhere, but in an area there's no jobs. She got a college education. She can't use it where she is. So now she's got to commute. She's got her own part-time job now. At a bank. Can you imagine that? Got to tell the education that she's working at a bank. I can get it. I'm smart enough to get a job at a bank. Now, if she wants to get a good job, she's most likely, she's got to go to Tulsa. Now she's driving. She's driving in traffic. Got to come over the river. That make any sense? No, it doesn't make any sense. But we all do it. Those are economic decisions, folks. That's the economy. Because if she would have said, hey, you know, I want to work in Tulsa. That's where the jobs are. Or Oklahoma City. Or Kansas City. Or Dallas. I don't care where the hell it is. And I want to buy a house near my job so I can walk down the street, get on a bus, go there, 15 minutes, be at my job, and come back. And I can be back with my family. That's the decision. But you know what we do? After we buy a house in the boondocks from where our job is. Then we have kids. Then we got to look for what? We got to look for a daycare center. So then our primary responsibility is educating our children. That's not the responsibility of government. We all say that. But then we have children and we give up our children, not to the government, even worse, to a daycare center. We have no idea what they're doing to the kids. Now, my daughter-in-law is a inspector of daycare centers. The best of them are bad. The best of them are bad. She had hers in what she thought was the best, because she knew more. She put hers in the best of the daycare centers. She did the same stupid thing I'm just talking about. She had a kid, put him right in a daycare center. And you know what her response was? It's better for them to socialize. No, it's your responsibility to raise your children and to educate your children. It's not some but daycare center's responsibility, and it's not the government's responsibility to educate them. But the way we think, progressive, it's the government's responsibility to train my kids, to educate my kids, and it's somebody else's job to raise them. Because I can't do it, I'm not qualified to do it, so I'll go to work. Now we have two people working. The expenses are exponential. We got a house far away. We got to commute to work. We got to bring the kids to daycare center. You know, we need a second car. That's the economy. That, I just explained the economy and how stupid it is today. You know, you could take anybody. If I had a job, if I was single, and I had a job working at McDonald's, I would be making good money. You know why? Let me tell you what I would do. Now, I did the same thing I'm talking about. I commuted for 2 hours. When I moved to Houston, I moved right next to work. I took a bus to work. I lived in Houston, and I remember one time I started my old Dodge. I kept it in the garage because I never used it. My family never used it. We walked to the shopping center. My kids, we lived in a nice neighborhood. The kids used to play around there, go to the park, do all that stuff. And I took a bus to work. The battery went dead because I never used the car. That was smart. I finally got smart because I had a 2-hour commute in New York. I learned the hard way. But that's the economy. Look at the difference between driving for 2 miles. What kind of economic effect did that have? What kind of effect did it have on the environment, driving a car for 2 hours? Think about that. That's the economy. The decisions we make is the economy. It's our decisions, each one decision that we make. And then when we put ourselves in such a hole, we look to someone else to pull us out of that hole, to drag us out. Who do we look towards? We don't look towards the family because the family is going to criticize us. So we look towards the government. So we look for government subsidies on this, subsidies on this, government subsidies on the health, daycare, lower gasoline prices. So we'll vote for all these bums that want to restrict and take our liberties away and regulate us and make us slaves. That's the economy, folks. We create the economy. Compare that to somebody. Now, if you're already, you know, married, you have 4 children, they're all going to private schools, and you've got 3 cars in the driveway, all with notes on them, and a $450,000 house, mostly on mortgage, you know, yeah, you're shot. Yeah, I can't talk to you guys. You're dead. You're gone. You know, unless you're filthy, filthy, filthy rich, you're finished. It's over for you. But if I got a job at McDonald's today, now the way I think, the way I'm preaching to you today, I would get an apartment, a studio apartment, with a Murphy bed. I'd have nothing in it. Anything I wanted, I can get for free. Go around to these garage sales. Go late. Don't early. Go late. They have stuff left over. They'll give it to you. Just get out of my garage. Take whatever you need. They'll gladly give it to you. Maybe a nickel, a dime, a quarter. You get everything. You can... Furnish. I think I can furnish an entire apartment for $1. I'd have a Murphy bed. I wouldn't even have a regular Murphy bed, so I can fold it up and get it out of my way. I'd make sure there's public transportation, which I disagree with. Public transportation should be privately funded. But if it's there, I would take it. I'd take the bus to work. Or even better, I'd walk to work. I'd make it really close. And if the McDonald's that I was working at was in a bad neighborhood, I'd work in another McDonald's. I'd pick the McDonald's with the best location, in the best neighborhood. And with the money I made there, plus all the benefits I get from McDonald's, and they gave good benefits, I would live good. I would live really very, very good. And I wouldn't have to be reliant on anybody. Because I know one thing, People are stupid enough to continue to buy and eat those stupid hamburgers and all the crap they sell. People are stupid enough to do that till the day they die. That would be job security et al. All the way through. That's the economy, folks. It's not these clowns working in the circus called Washington, D.C. Has nothing to do with the economy. The economy has to do with us. Every decision that we make. The decisions that we make, make the economy. If we decide, all decide, to stay home one day, on a day off from work, and not go anywhere, and just clean our house, stay home and mind our own business, and just do with what we have, the economy would be altered significantly. Because, not because of a government program, because of the choices that we make. And every choice we make turns out to be an economic choice. It's always an economic choice. That's why I had to talk about it again this morning. Every choice we make is an economic choice. After this, I'll tell you where I'm going. And join me. I'm going to Starbucks for a cup of coffee. That's an economic decision. I can make coffee here. It costs me 15 cents. I go to Starbucks, cost me $2. But I go there because I like to be there. There's big windows. You know, I see people I know. I sit down and read. I listen to the music. I get out of the house. That's an economic decision. And I figured that's the one thing I do, the big thing I do, I splurge. I spend $1.65 for a cup of coffee. I get a discount because I have a discount card. And I bring my own cup. I get 10 cents off. But that's an and those were economic decisions. I bring my own cup. I save 10 cents. Don't use another cup. And when I don't use another cup, guess what happens? They don't have to manufacture a new cup. They just recycle mine. I clean it, rinse it out, give it back to them. I recycle it. So if I have coffee there, let's say 200 times a year, that's 200 cups not being manufactured because I'm not using them. That's an economic decision. And Washington had nothing to do with it. I want you to think about it in those terms. I want you to think about it in terms that you are the economy. There ain't no such thing as the economy. It's you and me and every one of us. Every decision that we make, every decision we make has economic consequence, even if we do not think of it as an economic decision. And when we start thinking that way, we'll realize that those clowns at that circus called Washington, D.C., have nothing to do with the economy. All they can do is enslave us more. They can put more weight on our backs and crush us. Crush us to the point where he breaks our spirit. We have no more hope. We don't even have the damn audacity of hope. And we acquiesce to their every wish. I hope you got my point. Do I sound angry? If I don't, I am. I'm telling you. Real angry. I don't like where we're going. Don't like the way things are going. Don't like the decisions being made. Don't like it at all. And I feel sorry for this country. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle, and that's where I'm going to go right now. I'm going to get on my motorcycle and go to Starbucks. You feel free, liberated. Your life is in your own hands. But with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government is like training wheels. They control your every ride. Your ride and every move, I should say. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, "Don't steal. The government hates competition." With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.